Chapter 5. I Have a Sad Birthday. The first boy to return to Salem House was Tommy Traddles. He was a large, friendly boy in a bright blue suit. I felt very lucky that Traddles came back first because he made me feel much better about the sign on my back.
"What a funny game," he said.
Every time he introduced me to a new boy, he pointed to the sign and laughed with me warmly about it. That made the other boys think that it was a funny game too. But I was not fully welcomed into the school until James Steerforth arrived. He was around 6 years older than me, intelligent, wealthy, and very handsome. He immediately took me into the playground and asked me questions about the sign on my back. I told him the reason why I was punished, and he said that he felt very sorry for me. After that, I liked and trusted Steerforth. School began the next day. I remember the loud voices that became quiet when Mr. Creakle entered the classroom. He stood at the door, looking around at his prisoners. Then he came to where I was sitting and showed me his cane.
"You are famous for biting, Copperfield, but I bite too. This cane is my tooth. It will bite you hard," he said.
He hit me with the cane and cut my hand. By the end of the first day, Mr. Creakle had hit half of the boys in the school with his cane. Poor Traddles was beaten more than any of the boys. In my first months at Salem House, he was beaten every day. But despite being the most unlucky boy in the world, Traddles always seemed to stay cheerful. Steerforth was treated very differently to the other boys, and he was never beaten. He could not save me from Mr. Creakle's cane, but he was a useful friend. Everyone was a little frightened of Steerforth, even the teachers. He was sometimes unkind to Traddles and Mr. Mel, but he seemed to like me, and I admired him more than anyone. I will pass over all that happened at school until my birthday in March, many months later. I do not remember much from that time, only my admiration for Steerforth. But I do remember that March day very well. It was a cold and foggy morning, and just after breakfast, I was told to go and see Mr. Creakle. I thought perhaps a gift had arrived from Peggotty and felt quite excited. I hurried to Mr. Creakle's sitting room and found him eating breakfast with his cane and a newspaper beside him. His wife, Mrs. Creakle, was there too. She had a letter in her hand, but there was no gift.
"David Copperfield," she said gently.
She led me to a sofa and sat down beside me.
"I have something to tell you, child."
I looked over at Mr. Creakle at the table. He was eating a very big piece of toast with butter.
"I'm sorry to tell you that your mother is very ill," Mrs. Creakle said.
A cloud appeared between Mrs. Creakle and me, and I could not see her very well for a moment. Then I was crying.
"Your mother is dangerously ill," Mrs. Creakle continued.
I started to understand.
"Your mother is dead," she finally said.
I sobbed very hard then, because I knew that I was now alone in the world. Mrs. Creakle was very kind to me. She kept me there all day while I cried myself to sleep, then woke and cried again. My heart felt very heavy and painful. I thought of my father's grave and my mother's lying beside it. I thought about our house and how I would feel going back there for my mother's funeral. The next afternoon, I left Salem House. We travelled very slowly all night and did not get into Yarmouth until early the next morning. By the afternoon, I reached Blunderston and saw our house. The dark windows looked like closed eyes that were once bright. I was in Peggotty's arms before I got to the door, and she took me into the house. She felt so sad when she saw me that she started crying immediately, but she soon controlled herself and spoke to me in whispers. Mr. Murdstone did not notice me when I went into the best sitting room. He was sitting by the fire, crying silently in his comfortable chair. Miss Murdstone was at my mother's desk, which was covered with letters and papers.
"Did you bring your good shirts home for the funeral?" she asked me.
"Yes, ma'am. I have brought all of my clothes," I answered.
She had no kind words for me, only firm ones. If the funeral was yesterday, I could not remember it better. I remember the air in the sitting room, the bright fire, and the smell of cake. We walked to the church in our black clothes and stood beside my mother's grave. The light seemed very different that day to any other day. It was a sadder colour. There were many faces that I knew around the grave, faces that knew my mother as a beautiful young girl when she first came to the village. Soon the grave was covered with earth and we moved away. As we returned to our pretty house, I thought about my young life there and everyone in it that I had lost. All of this was a long time ago. I have forgotten some later events in my life, but my memory of this event stands like a high rock in the ocean.